and welcome to episode 26 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined tonight by my co-host, a man who is tied with Tony Watt for top goalscorer for Dundee United side for the season. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. How are you doing, Russ?
I'm doing very good, my friend. I'm doing very good, having just watched the Scotland national team give Ukraine a hammering.
Yes, we did. It was an interesting game. One where I've seen a challenge that I've seen people do less time in Barlinnie for. It was quite a good game, quite a good performance. I think we'll touch on that at the end because we don't have an awful lot of Scottish news, I guess, tonight, Russ.
No.
If we sound different, we're both recording in our living rooms. Families are already off to their bed. So we're recording quite late because we've stayed up for the Scotland-Ukraine game. So without further ado, Russ, how was your game week at the weekend? Were you back on track somewhat?
I would say no.
Oh.
However, the progress made in the reducing of the gallery, as I've been doing. I think on this historical 26, halfway through the year, as you said, episode, we've made it halfway. I'm probably at quite a good milestone now. I'm certainly happier with probably about two or three of the teams in the gallery. I've still got a wee bit of work to do. The weekend wasn't the kindest to me. I'm just having a look at it here. It wasn't so much DNPs, it was just maybe sort of slight underperformance, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Obviously, John Poolscamp's my under 23 rare and my under 23 pro goalkeeper, and he was dropped midweek, as you know, to give the guy Kendall McIntosh a rare outing. I think that was actually his debut for Sport in Kansas City. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen, if Poolscamp was going to be back in the goal. Thankfully, he was. I think I said on the last podcast this was going to be my first roll of the dice with the all-blue team, so the super rare all-star.
Yes.
And my target was to finish in the top half.
Yep.
So on Saturday at round about 5 p.m. after, I don't know, quite a few games, maybe a quarter of the weekend's games, maybe a little bit more, maybe a third.
Yep.
I was sat in the top 10 thanks to the heroics of Rafal Gikiewicz from Augsburg once again in goal. I think that was the second week in a row more than 100 points from my goalkeeper.
Staggering.
Yeah, to be fair, I wasn't expecting it at all. So when you're getting off to that start with your rare card, you're quite hopeful.
Yeah.
So that was followed up, and I genuinely was just so intrigued as to see how this team would do. So to be sitting, you know, so high up in the league early doors. However, I didn't get the goal that I was needing from my Nicky Clark super rare, and Aziz Behich at Dundee United scored only 44 points. Tony Vilhena, he weighed in with 56. So by the time I got round to Sunday, I knew I was needing something amazing from the last card, which was Pavel, I think it's Kaderabek, you pronounce it. He's at Hoffenheim. However, he scored a sort of pretty solid 70 points. It was an £89 pickup super rare from Pavel. Almost in a rush. I wasn't wanting to spend too much. I really was wanting to see how this team would do. And I finished what I think's a relatively credible first-time attempt, 314 points and 196th out of just under 600.
Yeah, and you said your target was to finish top half.
Yeah.
So, you know, you achieved that goal, probably just missed out on a European place, I would say, in the top half finish. But yeah, no, it's do you know what? It's a fairly steady start. I don't know if you watched any of the Scottish highlights and seen Nicky Clark miss from about a yard out, maybe two, maybe being unkind. It was a big chance miss that went down against him, so that could have been healthy. I had a couple of big miss chances from both my strikers, unfortunately. It was good to watch because I did keep an eye on it, Russ. And obviously, I was sending over because I was sitting first in All-Star Rare at that
That's
point
right.
as well. But that was mainly because all five of my cards played on Friday night. So
where did you finish?
I finished outside the cards by 13 points. I finished on 329. And yeah, that was enough to get me obviously the higher ETH, but it was 13 points outside the prizes. Now, I expected it to be about 340, if I'm being honest, but it was a fairly steady effort because that was all of my second tier players that were playing in that one. Cartagena started, well, they were actually the second game. My goalkeeper, Escandel, continued to be the goalkeeper. So that was a weight off my shoulders because I was a wee bit worried because obviously he just went in the goal, but he had a really good game. And then here was another one, clean sheet and a phantom penalty save, Russ. There was a penalty awarded in the second minute of the game and it was overturned by VAR. However, on every single platform, Optus scored it as a penalty save and it wasn't removed. It wasn't removed at all. Now, had I won a card with that, would I have been honest and mentioned it on the podcast? Probably not. But nonetheless, he scored 86 points because of that. So it was a double decisive, clean sheet and a penalty save. But the other lads in there as well, I had an assist from Derek Conn and then I had another goal from Havard Nielsen. So it looked pretty good, but unfortunately the two Levante lads, Ibora and Son, it was 40 points apiece basically from them, and that's pretty much what cost us. And there was other players I could have put in that had an underdog, but do you know what? At the end of the day, it is what it is. Higher ETH's been my aim, as I mentioned. I took it out as soon as it came through, and I was another 40 quid paying the holiday. So sub 1,000 on the holiday now, so that's good going. It was started at 1,800, and it's not a single penny's come out of the bank as such. You know, nothing, no wages have gone towards it. It's purely been money through Syria. Couple of other big scores. I had assigned Kenneth Powell of QPR day before deadline day, or maybe deadline day morning. But he scored an 83. So nice. Altogether, I got 86.7 from him. So I was quite pleased with that. He is my new pal. And yep, I'm going to let that one linger for a moment or two. He was very good, very solid, and it's in line with his recent scores. And that was all round score. It was 48 points from his all round score, Russ. So, he's been consistently doing that all season so far for QPR. So I got for 0.1, and I think the cheapest on the market now is sitting at about a 0.15. And in fairness, his average score went up to 69. So he's on a fair old score for his last five. So yeah, good all-round scores. The other key performer for the weekend was Sinan Bakis. Came off the bench again, and this time it was an assist from him. I had him captain and an underdog. So he's played 22 minutes of football, Russ, and he's got one goal and one assist. Better than many so-called strikers. So yeah, I've been quite pleased with that. And I was quite, you know, I had my team all set for this weekend, obviously, with the international break upon us, which is usually a time where I find myself either twiddling my thumbs or, you know, I had previously bought, you know, some cheap limited cards just to put something in underdog or whatever. But this time round, I'm going to have a full team going in from the second tier in Spain, which fully dropped today. So, which being Wednesday, I posted this morning. I sent hello or good morning, Nicholas. We've just set the podcast format, and what are you going to lodge today that's going to mean we have to include it or change things? So yes, duly delivered with La Liga Smart Bank or Segunda Division, whichever one you want to call it. So there's a ton of research to get done on that one, Russ. So I don't know if you've had a look at any of that, or is that beyond what you've been able to catch up with this afternoon?
I've not really. Kind of trying to get the crossover complete from the work I've been doing over the last 3-4 weeks on the gallery. And I've also been trying to keep an eye on, you know, just who's been performing, who have been given too many opportunities to in the gallery. So like you, just a couple of guys that have been doing really well just before I look at the sort of the second division stuff. Conor Erkin has been doing really, really well for me, and I've been playing him in Challenger Europe, but I've built myself a new stack for Challenger Europe that I'm going to hopefully roll out. So I'm going to move Conor Erkin into my global team, which we'll see how that goes. I've also got one of the lads I picked up when I looked at, is it Fortaleza from Brazil?
Yeah.
So I picked up a couple and I couldn't get there was a couple of cards I just couldn't get. The prices just kept going up and up. But I did have his name's Juninho, and I think it's Capixaba, you pronounce it. And he scored me a solid 79, along with a return of Savio at Raysol, who got me, he was captain for me, but he raked in 80 points, including his captaincy. So that was a little bit better. But there is a player that is going relatively cheap just now called Ezekiel Piovi, and he's at that LDU Kyoto that I had quite a couple of cards, Alvarado and Zayed Romero. So he scored 95 at the weekend, which was quite impressive. And he's actually probably still kind of going under the radar. So I've been working on the promise to get rid of all my limited cards. It's almost there. I think I'm left with 12, and I've got them all. I've got them all listed. If there's anybody that's looking for limited cards, that's looking for like the bottom price on every card, you know, I've got them all listed, I think, pretty much bottom. I was quite impressed just purely just on, just before we go on, Mikola, I think it's Kuherovic, that joined Hibs.
Yeah.
So I was listening to Lee Johnson from Hibs after they beat Aberdeen, and he gave him a lot of praise. So I'd actually had him up for sale, and it was one of these quick D-list. He was up for like 0.099 or something like that. So I don't know, 110 quid or something. But he pulled a 65, and I think he's going to get quite a lot of game time all of a sudden. So I kind of sort of pulled back on him. But no, the week that I've toyed with the idea. As you know, I'm slightly different to you, and this is probably where we kind of differ. I probably won't go for any. I do have one second division Spanish player, and I've got Mac Turgay, simply because I think, obviously, he's moved from Belgium, and I think he'll start getting some game time at Real Zaragoza, and I think he will hopefully catch fire at some point. And then I really just plan to sell him for a profit, to be honest with you. I'm probably not going to dabble with the rest. And the only fear I've got with, and it's not just the Spanish, but the only fear I've got with all the second divisions is that it's as easy to go down, you know, from the clubs as it is to go up. And that's my fear, is that, like, you know, if you've got all the top league players and they drop into a second division, there's now a landing pad, which is great. But that's my fear, is that some of those players are just too much of a risk for me. So I probably won't be competing this weekend. You might end up in the top five or something this weekend. You might be one of the only buggers playing it. But yeah, I'm still continuing to buy and sell cards. And one of the things that I have decided on is I'm going to copy to an extent. And I had an early discussion at the start of the season with my friend Lewis, so that's Spectre in game, and he won the under 23 rares midweek with his AZ. So he's AZ Alkmaar. Mm-hmm. So he won that. And I've been looking at their players for a while, and I like their group in Europe and things. So I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm gonna invest in a few of those cards. Whether it's the under 23 cards that are now extortionate, I'm not so sure. But I'm looking at, you know, guys like Bruno Martins Indy, or BMI as I call them, Chatsidaikos, maybe Danny DeVitt again, just guys like that. So, yeah, I'm still transition period, whereas I'm guessing you will be eager to get the notebooks out and get the second division fully scouted up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was happy it came out. It obviously meant that it has obviously opened up the market. I have had a look, though. There's only, I think it's barely into the, because obviously they're in alphabetical. They've not mass launched them the way that, you know, they were previously doing, where they were launching, you know, five rares, and they were all kind of coming around, you know, of each player, and they were coming around really quickly. It's all just 1 of 100 that are sitting there just now for the rares. And obviously the limiteds, I think they've got 6 or 7, but they are running through fairly slowly. And it's meaning that by the time the deadline comes round for Friday morning, I think we're barely into the Bs, if I don't think we've got to the C's yet, you know, in terms of looking at the names. So I've got a few targets. I went and had a look this evening. As I'm famous for, Russ, I had a nosy. I've got my wee notepad here, as nobody else could see. But there's some names for you, Russ. Look at those names. Eh? They're all A's, but I've actually got the times when they're due to come off and things like that as well. So I've actually went into the gallery. Now, what I'd done, I had a sale. I had six players for the weekend, and I was always going to sell one of the defenders. I had three defenders. I didn't need three defenders. I only needed, one plus an extra. So I sold one player late last night for, I think it was 0.052. I wish it was 0.052. And I was waiting for all the rewards to come out. And then I started making some offers, as I did last week, where I bought a couple of cards really cheap. So I actually bought two cards and I paid a total of 0.03 for them. And I've got them listed cheapest on the market. And between the two, they're 0.04. So, do you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but actually it's a third of it is profit. But that's only because I've lowered them down even further, because I want rid of them now, because I want my ETH back. I'm now looking to use that to put towards picking up. Certainly I'm going to need to get one extra card for this weekend. However, there are some really cracking players. Now, I can understand to an extent where you're coming from about, obviously, if they were to drop down further. But I don't see that any different from looking at players in Scotland, because if they drop down, like my Dundee cards, useless. Unless the players move back up. I don't see that being any different, to be perfectly honest. All it does is give a cushion to the top tier, if anything. But I've had a look through. There's plenty of players there. They're only six games into a 42-game season. So there is an absolute rake of games to be played. There's a ton of midweek games. It's just more opportunity to try and win ETH, which is, as I've mentioned all along, is basically what I'm trying to do so I could pay off the holiday. And that will actually now allow me to even hit a few lower ETHs and still manage to pay off the holiday. So they're playing through international breaks. They're also playing through the World Cup. The only stop for Christmas Day and New Year's Day. That's it. And they're playing right the way through all those other ones. As I mentioned, plenty of midweek action. So in all honesty, Russ, it's between that and when Serie B from Italy comes in, because they're also playing through the World Cup. They just don't play through international breaks. But I could see a lot of my gallery changing over to these cards because of the massive winter breaks that a lot of countries are away to have. Longer than normal, because a lot of the time it's usually December that they cut off. But because of the stupid winter World Cup that we're having, it's going to mess it up quite a lot. And that kind of spurred on a wee bit, I suppose, of the subject for this week, was maybe looking at what impact the World Cup's going to have when it comes to Serie A, in terms of market values and where that's all going to go. Options, because we've spoke about it briefly, you know, about the two leagues there. And obviously, as you mentioned before we came on the podcast, looking at maybe some of the countries that have qualified that we can maybe, you know, that could be worth having a look at to see what you can find. First and foremost, Russ, have you done any pre-planning for the winter yet? Or are you still, obviously, you're kind of preoccupied with your stack building at the moment, I guess?
Well, being as open and as honest as I can, for the first time, I've put money in the game. Mm-hmm. So you know that.
Yep.
Obviously, in the early episodes, I kind of disclosed my total investment and basically how much I've kind of taken out of the platform and things. It's five figures I've had out of the platform. It was, I think it was 2250 that was initially in the platform. The gallery, in essence, has been built for free as it stands or as it sits now. However, I was aware that I've got some players I don't want to sell at the value that they're currently sort of on, you know, whether it's Rare Data or Pavel's looking at them. I've got quite some really good players, but it's coming at the end of their seasons, and I was a little bit loath to sell these guys. I've kind of trying to be disciplined, and I'm trying to install the same sort of thought process into the guys in the subgroups and things, and saying, look, if you can afford to hold some of these Asian cards and MLS cards and things like that that are worth £50 or £100 that previously you maybe bought at 170 or 200, they will return. You know, we've seen it. We've seen the cycles. We've talked about the cycles. Both of us have done it. So I'm trying not to sell off too many more. I know, obviously, I had the target and I'm under 100 cards now in total. And I think I'm down to, 75 rares. The quality is improving all the time in the overall gallery. I've reduced the amount of teams, as I've been speaking about as well. So there is a complete strategy here that is now finally, I would say it's about 50% complete. But I've been aware that we're near the end of September and the World Cup isn't far away at all.
Yep.
So what I have tried to do is I've picked up a few international players along the way.
Yep.
So I've got some international players in my gallery, some at what you would maybe class as teams that have probably very little chance of winning the World Cup. And I've got a couple that are at some of the big teams or the favourites.
Yeah.
So I've got that in mind. I haven't gone to the extent like you have of the, you know, the sort of second leagues there, the second divisions, and I probably won't. I think I'm going to try and, probably for even now, probably just for actually the purposes of the podcast, it's probably going to be more interesting to see how I do with international players against how you do with league players, say, for example, in global. So we'll probably use that as an experiment as such. But yeah, I'm not going to invest in the second divisions purposely now. One of the things that I did do was I have sort of planned in the immediate future around the MLS playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really, really happy with the Philadelphia stack. Yeah. And you know what? Obviously, I've enjoyed watching. I've been able to watch them play twice now since having it. I got a final outfield player. And one of the things that I was looking at, and I invested basically £2,000 in the game in the last sort of 7 to 10 days. And one of the things that I was looking at was, okay, I need some extra new under-23 players. I needed maybe a blue card, and I needed arguably a European goalkeeper for the under-23s to continue playing it. And one of the things I looked at was Andre Blake. So I looked at Blake, and he's the best goalkeeper in the MLS. He scored the most Opta points the last two seasons in a row. But at 1/8 in the current sort of market, I just felt it was just too much. So I sat down and I thought, right, what am I going to do here? Because what happens if, say, for instance, my keeper at the moment, I had a choice of three. I had Yarbrough, who has no chance of the playoffs. I've got Poolskamp, who I don't think they look as though they can make it. Obviously, I had two of them. And then I've got Eloy Room at Columbus Crew. And they're in contention, but it's no givey, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm looking, thinking, God, this could be a disaster, because I could be sitting here with some really good high-value cards, because Philadelphia have made the playoffs. And I'm thinking, what if I don't have a keeper? That means I'm down to four cards. That means I'm not going to win anything. So I looked at all the other leagues, because after Andre Blake, there wasn't really any other keeper that I really wanted to particularly swap Eloy Room for. You know, I looked at Austin, Stoiver, guys like that. I looked at the lad at LA, and I just thought, Kripow. And I couldn't really make up my mind, and I was really indecisive on it. So what I did was I looked at the leagues, and I looked at when they were finishing, and the one that really sprung to mind was the fact that the Brazilian league continued to play their league games while the MLS playoffs were on. So I very quickly just threw together some research on those leagues, and I thought to myself, right, okay, let's just get a Brazilian keeper in. So Corinthians legend Cassio joined. He's the club captain there. He's contracted for another two seasons, and there was a couple listed at just over 0.5. Being honest, it was a bit more than I wanted to pay. But if I win a card of 0.1 or more in the 3 or 4 weeks that they're playing, then it'll be, obviously, then it'll have paid for itself. Yeah. So that's there was an element of what would class as, you know, just sort of immediate advance planning, because I'm sitting there going, oh, I don't want to be in a position that I'm trying to contest America's with four cards. It would be pointless. And when you've got money tied up in guys like, you know, Jack Elliott, Carranza, these are, you know, they're not the cheapest, but they're not, it's not the time to sell them. So yeah, that's what I've kind of been up to, as opposed to sort of like majorly scouting the divisions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had a look at my gallery to see who's obviously disappearing for a substantial period of time, and some for slightly shorter periods of time. obviously, I'm not going to get into the politics of the World Cup. It should never have been held where it's been held. It's absolutely ludicrous that they moved it to a Winter World Cup. Absolutely ridiculous. But it is what it is. Money talks and bullshit walks, as they say. So having a look at the when the leagues are actually finishing, Russ, just as a wee bit of forward planning, it looks like most of the leagues are going to come to a halt around the weekend of the 13th of November.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got written down here. I think the only one that was slightly earlier was La Liga, the top flight. That was finishing in the midweek before that. That was the 9th of November. But then the variety of them coming back, this is what I was worried about, Russ, because sitting for 2 months with no action again, it was bad enough over the summer just sitting playing some limited cards. But I don't think I could cope with sitting for two or more months of inactivity. And my other worry is obviously with the World Cup. We've seen in recent years, you know, you do get freak series of results where team, you know, big names are crashing out with group stages, or, you know, what games are going to fall into what game week and all this kind of thing. So that was something that, you know, slightly concerned us as well. So that's why I've ended up looking at, you know, for what can I play? And the two leagues that are still running, as I mentioned, are Serie B in Italy, and also obviously mentioned La Liga Smart Bank. And they're obviously, the main thing for me is they're also going to have their own division. So they're going to have their own league to play in, a la Champion and Challenger. There's going to be second division, which, you know, if you look at some of the other things about being early adopters and being able to cash in when people suddenly see the league appear, is appealing as well. So, yeah, that's been my main thinking behind it. And obviously the big one for me with the Spanish sides is them playing through international breaks like just now. It means that at the weekend I could put out a full team. And they did get me 330 points. So they are more than capable, although probably 320 legitimately. But that's more than enough to hit the higher ETH. So, yeah, I'll quickly run through some of these leagues, Russ. I just picked out all the European ones just to run through quickly. The German Bundesliga, the top flight, comes back on the 20th of January. So that's over 2 months. The second tier comes back on the 28th of January. So that's a week later. I believe it's due to cup competition. Austria, 10th of February, they come back. The Championship in England's the 10th of December. So they're only out for 4 weeks. So that's, you know, if you've got Championship players, more power to you. Eredivisie, 6th of January. Belgium, 23rd of December. Croatia, 20th of January again. France comes back right after Christmas. They come back, the lower leagues, 26th of December. And the top flight is 28th of December. Russia, obviously a big one for you know, impacted my thoughts on Zeynep Dinov, and it's obviously impacted your thoughts on some of your players as well, Russ.
Yeah.
4th of March. That's a long time. That's a long, long time to sit with some expensive cards. You know, if you can hold them, brilliant, because you'll get the rewards back. But it's too long for me. English Premier League, Boxing Day, 26th of December. Scotland comes back the week earlier, 17th of December. Portugal, they can't be that confident, Russ. They come back on the 5th of December. So that was when I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, they must not fancy their chances, or they don't have an awful lot of internationals that are at it. It's kind of like Scotland. I don't know how many internationals are actually going to be at the World Cup, realistically. But you were shutting down for 6 weeks. La Liga, top flight, 31st of December. Smart Bank, as I mentioned, is Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Serie A, 4th of January. Serie B, they shut down basically just for New Year's Day and the week after. They come back on the 14th of January from the 26th of December. And Turkey, play on Christmas Day, Russ. As yeah. you made the joke of you could be watching the football in Turkey whilst cooking the turkey, which brought a wry smile to my face. And finally, Denmark, 19th of February. So there's some seriously long times that if you're not pre-planning, you're going to be sat without a lot of players that you could use, in my opinion. So obviously you've pre-planned into the World Cup, Russ. So is there any countries that you're particularly looking at, or any ones that you noticed in your research that might have quite a few players that are worth having a nose at?
Well, what I would probably suggest is that there'll be nobody having a guitar stack. We just had a very quick look pre-pod. But yeah, just they don't have a single player in their national team that doesn't play in their domestic league. Obviously, there's some sort of what you would class as sort of maybe not lesser nations, but you know, you've got countries like Iran, obviously, that are at the World Cup, and they've got a few sort of European based players. They've got the one of the ones that sticks out in particular is Taremi, that's at Porto. So mm-hmm. he's a good card as it is in the game. But you've also got Ali Golazadi, who I quite like him. He's a midfielder at Charleroi in Belgium. And so you've got those guys at Iran. You know, if you're looking just to put up a World Cup team, you know, they're going to get at least three games. You know, yeah. they're going to get, obviously, in the group. Maybe if the you never know, they might knock England and United States out. you never know. But yeah, there's, you know what, there's the Canada. You know, for anybody that's looking maybe on a bit of a lesser budget as well, you've got the Canada national team. I have the lad Pietti that plays for Montreal. Yeah. And I genuinely signed him, not with that intention. I signed him and then thought, oh, he'll be at the World Cup as well, because I think he's quite a regular international. So, you know, looking at the groups, you've got, you know, your sort of Group A, Qatar. You'll have some Ecuador players, obviously, from the Ecuador yeah. League. You've got Senegal and Netherlands, so you should be able to get some players there if you're wanting to put a World Cup team from certainly Ecuador and the Netherlands. And there's a sprinkling of Senegal players all over the European continent, as we know.
Certainly is.
Group B, you've got obviously England, Iran, United States and Wales. So plenty interest. Obviously, I hold Dylan Levitt, who currently is in the Welsh squad and at Dundee United. So that could be interesting. It might be a kind of backup card. I'm not expecting him to be a starter at the World Cup, but you never know. He might see some minutes. But certainly United States, do you think, fair to say that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd imagine there's quite a few European-based players that will be there. And the good thing is with the likes of the Bundesliga coming into it and other divisions, then it does give more players that are, you know, USA internationals that are going to be available to use. So, yeah, they're definitely there.
Yeah,
I don't know how many domestic-based players they've got, Russ, that are in the national teams. It's a lot of international-based players, I know.
Yeah, they're about... I know that. They're probably more than half and half. Certainly their midfield is all sort of international-based, you know, so it's guys like Weston McKennie at Juve and yeah. Tillman at Rangers, for example, who's in the game. He's just kind of been in their squad. They've got Tyler Adams at Leeds. Kelly and Acosta, though, he plays for LA. He's been in their squads recently. And then obviously at the back, they've got like Walker Zimmerman and Yedlin that are both mm-hmm. domestic now. And up front, they've got the lad that there's actually the two that are at Dallas. Paul, I think, is it Areola you pronounce him? And Jesus Ferreira, the card, under 23 card he used to hold.
Yeah.
So those guys have been in and around the squad and things with the USA, so there are a few options there.
Yeah. And do you know what? This is the thing as well. There'll probably be some Blue Cross cards, and also even possibly some Red Cross cards that will actually get a bit of utility because they're, you know, that they might actually play in some of these competitions. You know, I'm just looking at countries. You know, I don't know what players have maybe moved back to Poland, for example. They might have Red Crosses against them because their league isn't covered, but there may be internationals. To be honest, international football and, you know, finding the league, you know, the squads isn't something I've looked into too closely. But one that would probably stand out just with the influx of them to the Scottish League this season, Russ, would be if the new cards come out soon, would be all the Australian lads, because there yeah. is a fair few. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've got Behich,
yeah.
The one of the United goalkeepers. Also the lad at St Mirren, Bacchus, I think he's Australian. So there's all these different
yeah,
lads,
Keanu, you know, lads could,
and obviously Martin Boyle would yep. be another.
Ryan McGowan.
And you know, I seen a post today, and I haven't really looked into it any further than seeing the post. Somebody posted up saying there was a lot of A-League players being snapped up today. And I don't know if there's any, you know, reason behind that other than maybe, you know, it's one of those leagues that could get launched and it would give summer football and things like that. But what it could also be is people have seen, you know, the Australia team for the internationals and looked and went, oh, he's costing 0.015, or oh, he's costing 0.01, and being able to pick them up for those prices and throwing them at their team because they've moved to, you know, whatever team, Newcastle Jets, I think is a team's name. But they've maybe moved to them, and, you know, all of a sudden you're going to have utility for, you know, like you say, three games at least. And just having a quick look at the matches, Russ, they are split, I think, about 8 days, over 8 or 9 days, the three fixtures. So you're probably looking at three consecutive game weeks.
Yeah.
You know, at least. And then obviously your other problem comes in after that is who gets knocked out and having to reevaluate. But that might be where, Russ, that, you know, if you do have something like that happen, where you can pick up an extra card from Serie B or from, you know, Segunda Division to be able to put into, you know, to complete a team to put into global or all star. I think we all should, if we do slip into the old terminology quite a lot in terms of global all star, or, but yeah, just slipping it into the all star, that, you know, that would be, that sounds very sexual again, Russ, slipping it into the all star.
So you can tell we're after the watershed tonight, eh?
Absolutely.
Do you know what? There are definitely plenty of options. You know, you've got the Mexicans at the World Cup, which, you know, the Liga M, the Liga Mexico, when the game first came out, you know, I think we all dabbled in the Mexican League where we're buying cards. And it's probably, I would say, it's kind of went to become an afterthought, certainly for me now, as to where to look for quality players. Part and parcel because of maybe the lack of clubs.
Yeah.
But there are still some players, obviously, that even within, like, Mexico, like you say, if the Scottish cards were to release, I think, as to my knowledge, and I would have to double-check it, but I'm very, very confident that there are a record number of Australians playing this season in Scotland. Obviously, you've got the Hearts contingent as well of, you know, Rolls and Atkinson and all these guys. But to my knowledge, it's the most ever Australian players that have ever played in the Scottish League this season. So, yeah, there are so many options. And the one thing that might be good is that we might see some new winners, you know, in amongst the cards and things on, you know, on social media. I always like to look at, you know, keep an eye on who's winning things. And it's always quite, you know, quite heartening to see somebody that maybe you don't know them personally or whatever, but we just, you know, happen to follow us or whatever, and they're like, yeah, first ever win on Serie A this week and stuff. And that's a massive boost if you've been playing. You know, one of the guys that I help, Kevin, I think he's been playing about a year, and he won his first ever card last week, and he's followed up this week with a limited Hibernian stack. And he won a, I think it was a tier 2 limited card that he's going to be able to sell for about £75, which,
excellent.
You know, it renews people's faith.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's the thing. I think it'll, you're right. I do think it'll open up avenues there. And, you know, you never know. I mean, who'd have thought that, you know, as you mentioned, obviously looking at Mexico, that was one of the leagues I was buying or getting players at the beginning of my journey a year and a half ago now. And now I'm looking in the second tier, you know, of Germany, of France, of Spain and Italy and things like that. I haven't even looked at the Championship in England because I think they'll be overpriced, if I'm being perfectly honest, because they're more widely known. But yeah, I think that'll be quite interesting to see. What sort of impact, if we come back to looking at the market though, Russ, what sort of impact do you anticipate with the World Cup? Usually, you know, when we're getting to the run-up of summer, you have your sell-off because people are then buying into MLS or they're buying into the J-League or that sort of thing, or K-League, because that's your summer leagues. Whereas now, realistically, the only options you've got are, or there's an extra option because you can go into hibernation, or you could play with World Cup squads, as you mentioned, or you're going to have to basically choose, you know, Serie B or Liga Smart Bank. And I actually dread to think that what it would have been, Russ, had these leagues not come along. because I would have been in hibernation. I would have been done until things came back. So what do you see the impact on the market being? Do you see a drop off and will it be quite a significant one, or do you think it'll hold its own because everybody's in the same boat?
I think there'll be an element, first and foremost, there'll be a rush for the people that can afford it, for the French national squad, the German, the World Cup squads that are announced. There'll be a rush for the cards that are in the game, for the teams that theoretically will be or should be sniffing around the quarterfinals, getting out of the groups and getting a couple of extra games. So your French cards, your Brazilians, your German nationals, maybe your Netherlands, Portugal, any of these kind of cards, or people maybe try and be smart and look at the groups and think, do you know what? I think they'll go through, but I also think these guys might have a chance, so I'll pick these up. So I think there'll be a surge on the upper market. You've got guys, you've got guys like obviously Lewandowski at the World Cup with Poland and stuff and things, but will Poland get to the later stages? It's a big risk. Yeah. But I think there will be a surge around the sort of the top six or seven nations and the cards that make the squad. So, yeah, I agree. I think there'll also be, and hope for your sake, because you'll probably have about 30 of them in your gallery by that time. I think there'll be a surge in the second division cards. I think there will be a drop-off with a lot of the... I think the Russians will fall off a cliff. We mentioned that they're not back until the next Apollo mission returns sooner than them. Do you know what I mean? It's like Christ. Yeah. The Russian cards, and it's a shame because there are, as we know, there are some quality cards in Russia. One of the best cards in the game right now is the guy Christian Ramirez at Krasnodar. Yeah. I don't know if you've
seen his scores.
It's pretty scary. They're almost going to have to change the scale and change. They're going to have to give him a colour on his own soon. There's obviously some of the Russian cards and things like that. I can see them totally falling off a cliff. Other leagues, certainly some of the European players, I can see sort of dipping quite significant. I guess. It's not too far away, and I think we're maybe already starting to see guys maybe starting to prep for it and making moves in their squads. So what I've been trying to, like you just mentioned before, is just trying to get people not to panic because some of their players are worth 20 quid that were worth 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
They will come back. And there's also players. One of the things that I really like about, and it's more not so much about the World Cup as such, and it's about the launch of these second leagues. So last season, for example, I know a lot of guys that were perilously looking for goalkeepers to play in the European season, and this is, you're talking sort of January, February last year, and it was his last season, and you're looking at teams like, or you're looking at, say, players like Van Hamel, and you're thinking, yeah, oh my God, I cannot buy him. He's a way of, they're beer short down. Or you're looking at guys like Lamprou, was another one, or Van Osch. The teams were all in big trouble, and the goalkeepers became such a huge risk that so many boys just backed off and didn't buy them. And then the prices continued to drop. Now, obviously, we haven't launched they'd be bonkers if they launched the second flight in Belgium. Do you know what I mean? It's like junior football almost. In Scotland, it's not a great standard.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they'll... Obviously, the Dutch league was an early one that they brought on board in the game. So their standard, I'm not sure if they would class it as worthy enough, or if they'll just stick to the teams that are, the leagues that are what they class as champion to make like their new second flight or challenger two.
Yeah,
I don't know. The good thing is, though, that you could see players that are in Italy, in Spain, in the top flight. So guys like, say, for example, Roger Marti, Joselu, guys like that, that were staring relegation in the face, and some of them went down, and the values plummeted. Well, in theory now, if there's a chance that they're going to stay and be like, you know, go from scoring like 9 goals in the top flight to scoring 30 and firing the team back up.
Yeah.
You know, we've already seen it. Some of the cards are going to become gold dust and become so valuable, and it's flipped a lot of players' values on its head.
I would agree. And that's the thing. It's only going to be with the Champion Europe cards, obviously, as you mentioned, that are going to have this benefit from not going down. And it's probably because those countries have actually got, you know, the proper Opta coverage that they need, as opposed to, like you mentioned, Scottish Championship. No chance it's got the full Opta coverage for that. You know, I can't see them covering a game, you know, between Morton and Ayr and scoring it. I just don't see that being a thing. But yeah, looking at these ones, we have mentioned there's some massive clubs in these second tiers, right across all the leagues. And it's quite exciting from that point of view, as you mentioned, Russ, looking at the end of the season and seeing those teams that are sitting at the bottom of the Spanish La Liga and thinking, oh, if he goes down, I don't have to worry about his price vanishing. But also another thing to even look at for the moment, or even for January, is the players on the fringe in the top flight that might get loaned to a lower tier team for game time. And then obviously you've got like Villarreal, it's their second team that are in the Segunda division. So you might see some of the players that are on the fringes in Villarreal that are actually getting a game for the second team. So it does open a lot of avenues. I'm a big fan of it. I'm looking forward to when the league its own league launches, its own SO5 league, because at that point, that means I could fully focus on having one strong team into that, and then everything else going into All-Star. That's my plan. So at the moment, to be honest, I'm making a decision whether I'm wanting to keep a hold of Sahin Radlinger. Because it's not for anything for his performance, because he's played pretty well this season. Okay, had two iffy games there, but you know, one was against RB. But am I wanting to wait until February before I'm back to two goalkeepers again, Russ? So that's where I'm looking at with those. And I do foresee, you know, the leagues like that aren't going to be back till February, likely having a drop off. And it shouldn't be as severe, but you know, you get that panic selling, Russ. We see it all the time. People start to panic sell and buy into Serie B or buy into international teams just so they've got something to play with. And that's going to then mean that guys that are holding a balance can really swoop in and get some bargains in probably, you know, 6-7 weeks' time. But that's why I've tried to pre-plan now, because I don't want to be in that mad scramble, especially when these players are all playing just now. They've got, as I mentioned, they've got midweek games, plenty of opportunity to get them. 36 games left in the season, Russ. That's a full season for a lot of teams. So, you know, they've already got six. You've got a wee gauge on where some of these players are at. You know, and I'm just interested to see where it goes. I will probably end up, I'd imagine, I've got four at the minute because I've sold two, so I need one before the deadline. But I'm probably looking at, I think I'll probably have between 10 and 15 from the lower tier that I could use. I'll still have my Challenger Europe team in the meantime until that switches over, you know, and I played a second tier team. But I do plan on trying to pick up maybe a few bargains, maybe a few things that are under the radar. I have seen a few players today where I've been looking and I've been like, oh, they've not played for 4 weeks. They've got one game and they've not played for four. So I've had a look to see, there's some, you know, a thigh strain or something like that, and the guy's out for 4 weeks or something. So I've been looking at some of these details and looking at last season's stats and things. So I've had a good nosy, Russ, and we'll see where that takes us. But yeah, I think I felt it was important that we kind of discussed, you know, looking ahead, because sometimes it could be really short term with Serie A, you know, just kind of what can I get out this week. But I think, you know, a lot of guys are probably going to get to middle of October and be like, shit, what do I do now? You know, and I think that's where people will get into a scramble. And guys with the big budgets are just going to get richer, because they're going to swoop in and pick up, you know, starting strikers for half the value and things like that, you know. And not saying that they'll go down that far, but just as an example, you know, maybe an exaggerated one. So that's where my thoughts are overall.
I think one final thing on it, and just this kind of to pick on the Smart Bank or La Liga 2 as such, you know, you look at that, there's a few of those teams in that division that are yo-yo teams. So as long as you've got like that, an exit strategy as well, because obviously, if, you know, if you're looking and thinking, right, okay, so they're at the moment at the top, you've got Alaves and Las Palmas and Granada. Now, they've all played in the top flight in Spain in recent years.
Yep.
Las Palmas is David Silva's team, isn't it? You think that's,
yeah.
So you've got the, I think he's got a big resort and stuff there as well, I believe. But you've got those teams that have all sort of played up there. You've also got a few other teams like Levante, Zaragoza, Tenerife, Huesca. You know, they've all been in that top flight. Malaga, a few years back, I think, were up there as well.
Yeah.
And I think if you plan it, whereas, you know, you exit maybe 3-4 weeks before the end of the season, where you're still getting prime sort of players. You know, if you're guys at the top and are scoring, you know, really good sort of 50-plus, 60-plus, 70-plus scores, and you look at it and you think, right, okay, I've had a few rewards from this, I've had constant ETH wins, but my team's going to be the whipping boys next season, and my team, you know, my players are all going to go orange scores. I think as long as you can plan it, that you get out when your players aren't at base, but they're actually at optimum, then, and I know you will, but for the listeners, because there will be some guys that will follow this sort of lead and go, yeah, do you know what? I quite like both those ideas. Either I'm going to build a World Cup team, or I'm going to get some second division players. Just be mindful of if the team's going to look as though it's going up, it could be, they could do a Norwich, for example. Sorry for our North Norfolk digital listeners. but yeah, do you know what? I just, it's been mindful of it. We, you know, we try and obviously give as many sort of good positive tips and stuff, but we also try and look at the potential pitfalls for everyone as well.
Yeah. Do you know, that's funny, because you really look at the relegation pitfall, don't you? Mm-hmm. You don't think of the promotion pitfall of that, but yeah, I just think it opens up avenues. One of the things I thought with, like, so the German second tier coming in, I felt a lot more comfortable with a lot of my Austrian lads.
Definitely. Because,
you know, that kind of was a pathway. And then you actually seen it with a couple of the Japanese lads. I think was it Eo Tanaka went from being one of the most expensive cards, and he ended up in Dusseldorf, I think it was, and was unusable, and has only just become usable again. But I think his scores are like in the 40s. So it's gone from being 60s, 70s in Japan to middle of the pack. So yeah, it's quite interesting to look at, you know, the difference in the standards and things like that as well. So yeah, we'll quickly have a review of the Scottish fixtures from last weekend, Russ, and then maybe just a couple of minutes on the Scotland game tonight, so we can we can maybe just round off what was an excellent night for the Scottish teams. If we have a look at last weekend, it was obviously the games returned after a week's absence. So I'll run it from the top on the way that it's listed here, Russ. We had St Johnstone and Ross County play out a stalemate, 0-0. So that's a couple of clean sheets on the bounce for St Johnstone, which is you know, probably against my expectations. They're next up against United. So will they continue the clean sheets against the ever prolific United strike force?
Well, my thoughts on St Johnstone are, I noticed that Liam Gordon had obviously returned, so I think he's still club captain there. They seem to have a slight change just to the way they were set up by the looks of things. They seem to have steadied the ship. Yeah. They, like you say, we've got my beloved Dundee United next. The only thing I will probably say is that Nicky Clark will return to score against them.
100%.
It's 100% that one.
100%. He will be captain that week.
From the United perspective against them, we didn't actually play that badly the last sort of, I would say, probably the last half hour against Rangers. After getting the goal back through Liam Smith, we actually looked as though we maybe could actually equalise. And Rangers, you could kind of tell, obviously I was watching the game, and you could almost see from the stands that the Ibrox faithful were a little bit nervous about, you know, the possibility of us actually snatching the draw.
Given the run they'd been on, it wouldn't have been surprising. you know?
To my knowledge, I don't think there is a Rangers manager that has survived five games without a win. Now, that would have been up to four if it had been a draw, even against United.
I
don't know. I think it could be quite a tight affair. One of the things that I did notice, obviously, was some of the United cards, the recovery in the scores, certainly from the defenders and midfielders. So guys like Edwards, Harks, Graham starting to get, you know, slightly better points if you're holding their cards, which is a little bit encouraging for a lot of guys that are holding Scottish cards.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, that finished 2-1. On another day, it could have been 5 or 6, but also could have been 2-2.
Yeah.
So one of those. But we did predict a fairly tight Rangers win. Livingston beat Kilmarnock 1-0, and the battle of the plastic pitches. But that was another Christian Montano goal. He's had a fair old run. Somebody asked me about really cheap players, and I mentioned him, and his price has definitely gone up quite a bit since then. Hibs got a 3-1 win against Aberdeen through a rather dubious penalty, and which resulted in a red card for Aberdeen. But yes, 3-1, and they did run away with it. But as I mentioned, Aberdeen were also down to 10 men. St Mirren with the shock of the weekend, Russ.
Indeed.
2-0 victors at home to Celtic. Now, you did say, all the way back on episode 17, when we previewed the season, and I believe even back maybe in episode 4, that St Mirren are hard to beat in Paisley.
They
just get men behind the ball. But I thought they're pressing. They're, you know, yeah, they ended up with, I think it was like 22% possession or something like that.
Yeah, but 20% or something.
That doesn't matter at one jot. What all that matters is the 2-0. But they were pressing. They were harrying Celtic. Celtic didn't get all their own way. And that was a big result, a huge result, quite frankly, because it's pushed them right up the table to being, you know, fourth in the table when, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have predicted them being that high. And then finally, the weekend rounded out with Hearts coming off a European victory in Riga in Latvia.
Did it well.
3-0 at Motherwell.
Yeah.
No coincidence, Russ, no coincidence whatsoever that I sold Alan Forrest, and he scored in Riga and he scored 2 at the weekend. No coincidence. No coincidence whatsoever. He did absolutely sweet FA for me. And there he goes, banging in the goals for somebody
banging
else.
In
happy
the goals.
Days. Well done, lad.
Absolutely.
And that was the air connection you were talking about as well, because I think Shanklin set him up for one of them as well. So, you know, the two players played together previously. So it's maybe taken a wee bit of time for, you know, Forrest to find his feet, but he certainly seems to be finding them there. So that was the Scottish League campaign. Obviously, there's no games this weekend. We've got a game against Ireland on Saturday night, but tonight it was a resounding victory over a team who less than 4 months ago sent us packing from the World Cup playoffs, Russ. So much changed performance, and one that we pre-match when we looked at the lineup maybe didn't feel as confident as that.
Yeah, the Ukrainians were, I think there was only five that started the last game. So obviously I was at the last game as well. I wasn't at the game tonight. I was committed to fully and wholeheartedly to the pod. I have to say, Scotland played really well tonight. I think we showed that we seem to be a more naturally attacking side without our captain in it, which is it's quite interesting. Obviously, Robertson has had the luxury of Sadio Mane in a sort of swashbuckling all sort of gung-ho Liverpool side where he plays in and he gets to attack constantly. And then in a Scotland shirt, it's a little bit of a different story, and it's not for the lack of effort or anything, but it's just a different way of playing and different players around him, and it's just not so natural. But I thought Kieran Tierney was immense tonight. I thought Aaron Hickey was fantastic at right back. He looked really comfortable on the ball. You know what? Pep Guardiola didn't look at him because he was shy. Do you know what I mean? He looked at him because he's an absolute quality player.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he was over in Italy at such a young age, going directly, obviously, from Hearts after so few games. I was having this argument, just to slightly diverse, but someone had, I think when the Scotland teams had come out, and I was on about Elliot Anderson.
Yeah.
And Elliot Anderson is a massive bugbear to me because there's a, you know, it's the Jordi Maradona he's getting touted as. He had a fantastic season last year, lower league. And I've watched all these videos on, I think there's about 9 videos on YouTube. I've watched them all. Some of them are repeats of the goals and stuff he scored. But that lad is a fantastic talent. And I genuinely had hoped, the fact that Ryan Fraser obviously was called up into the squad, I would have loved to seen him called up into the main squad rather than the 21. So he is in Scott Gemmell's 21 side. And he's played some games for them. At the last campaign, I watched him in one of the games. I can't remember if it was Belgium or Denmark. And he's a quality player. But the fact is, he's played the last 4 or 5 games for Newcastle. We've got to be looking at that as a nation and going, do you know what? Let's get him capped. And somebody said on Twitter that he's only played 20 games. So my response was, if you look at Messi, Ronaldo, Hullet, Mateus, Platini, all these guys, they were all capped before they'd even played a full season. So they were all capped immediately. And that's where we, as a nation, I feel, we're so antiquated and behind the times. We just don't seem to do this. We wait till guys are like 24 and go, well, he's actually pretty good. Let's start playing him. Let's start capping him. Yeah. And then we've got this abundance of guys that are just shy of the Hall of Fame, that are actually like the amount of guys that are like, you know, Barry Ferguson, for example, that, you know, 40, I think he's on 44 caps, McFadden or whatever, 48 caps. Do you know what I mean? I'd play McFadden now to give him those extra 2 caps. Do you know what I mean? Just to get him in the Hall of Fame. He's bloody worthy. Yeah. You know, I mean, on a cap basis for the 50 caps that you get for Scotland. But we seem to not get our team selections or our squad selections, let's be honest, particularly exciting the nation as fans. You can't probably mock or knock Steve Clarke tonight based on the fact that his team has run out 3-0 victory. I looked at the squad and wasn't over enamoured with it when the squad came out. And then when I looked at the team tonight, I texted a few friends and it was like, oh, here we go, same old, same old. I did quite like, and I don't know if it was to do it to outsmart it, but obviously McTominay was in that lineup, and everybody, I'm guessing, thought, including myself, that he'd be playing centre-back as part of a three, and he didn't. So, I don't know, it was maybe slightly refreshing from Steve Clarke. I'm not fully bought into Steve Clarke as a manager for my national team. It saddens me to say that, but I'm not fully bought into just his tactics. However, tonight, he did his team did the job. The Dykes was superb, Hickey was superb, Tierney was great, McGinn gets another goal. McGinn's now up to the, I think it's the 8th joint top scorer for Scotland, just alongside Mo Johnson of all people. We blast from the past there.
I seen him score an overhead kick against Cyprus in 89 at the old Hampden. Before it was all seated, I was sitting on a terrace. Pat Nevin with the other goal that night, I believe.
Apparently, he likes both the Celtic and the Rangers. Talked his mojo.
He does. He probably owns. You ever seen the meme of the guy wearing the Celtic and Rangers strip? And it's like 4 patches, like the Rangers top left, Celtic top right, and then it's just absolutely gaudy. But yeah, he went. I think it was for a newspaper stunt. They went out in Glasgow dressed like that, and I'm surprised he made it back with his life. When we seen the lineup, Russ, my message to you was, why the fuck does he insist on playing McTominay at the back? And he filled us all, but I thought we looked so much better with a 4 as opposed to, he was, and you've got Callum McGregor who was able to cover, and there was a couple of times where I was like, where the fuck's the left back? Where the fuck's the right back? You know, when it looked like Ukraine were going to break, but then all of a sudden there's McGregor, and then there comes Patterson or Hickey or Tierney back into position, because they were getting forward. They were supporting, the cause. So yeah, I was pleased. I thought early on, whether it was the rain or whatever, it wasn't a great spectacle, as I would say, in the first half. There was a lot of misplaced passes and things like that, but certainly once we started taking our chances, I did think it wasn't going to happen, especially when Shea Adams had the header where the keeper saved it with his foot on the line, and it just didn't look like it was going to happen until John McGinn's arse made an appearance and he backed in and turned the guy who should not have been on the park. he should have been on his way to Barlinnie for the horrific challenge. That was an NFL crackback play. That's exactly what that was. That used to be my favourite play. Blind hitting someone was my favourite play in American football. And there's a three-picture sequence of me doing it to a huge guy and him flying through the air. And I was, you know, half his size, but he didn't see me. It was my favourite play. That's exactly what that was. The guy should have been off the park. I can't understand how it was yellow. The referee was abysmal the whole night. And that's one thing we mentioned just offline. The refereeing standard across all games at all levels has declined dramatically. And I don't know if it's because some of them are dependent on VAR and they think they could just, you know, float along and not care and let VAR mop up all their mistakes. But my goodness, refereeing is abysmal all around. But yeah, all in all, 3-0. Never going to complain about a 3-0 win. Even when we beat, was it San Marino or the Faroe Islands who didn't turn up? Faroe Islands, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we got a 3-0 win for that. I'll take them. I don't care how they come. So yeah, on Ireland at the weekend. So we'll probably have Surrey Ireland to hopefully put in his place after our last out in Dublin, because that was shambolic the last time. So let's see how we go Saturday night, Russ.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Indeed. All good. Anything else for this evening?
Not other than I was delighted to see Lyndon Dykes get a couple of goals.
Yeah, do you know what? It looked... You know, he's one of these players that frustrates the life out of me, because you'll have those games like the game against who did we qualify against? Who did we win in penalties against? Slovenia? Slovakia?
Serbia.
Serbia. He had a phenomenal game that night. Absolutely phenomenal game that night. He was winning everything in the air, getting stuck in. And then you'll see two or three games where he's looking where the defender is instead of looking for the ball. He gets lost under it and seems to get lost in the occasion sometimes. But then there was him tonight off the bench, two headers, and he started, you know, he was winning things. He was getting stuck right in, and it was that Lyndon Dykes. That's the Lyndon Dykes we need to turn up. If we get him to turn up at the weekend, fantastic. We'll look forward to it. So,
indeed.
I don't have anything else for this evening. We've gave quite a lot of food for thought, I would say. If you've got teams in this weekend, good luck, guys. If you don't, enjoy the football on the TV. I'll certainly be enjoying some Spanish football. And take care, guys. We'll speak to you all again next week.